G'day, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of Tears Big Ears. I'm Chad, as always, and I'm joined this week by Mad Trivia John, or just John, as he put it into when I asked him about an hour ago how he wanted to be introduced. G'day, John.
How are you doing, sir? Long time talking with you. This is actually our first time really interacting besides Instagram.
Yes, yes, and we were supposed to do this in October, but the day before I ended up having a little incident on the way home, and we didn't get to record. So it's this time I didn't crash, so it's good.
Well, fun fact: you might not be sliced and stitched now, but I am.
Oh no! What happened?
I had some corrective surgery as well as some hardware removal done a week. Two weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Tarsal tunnel. And if you don't know what tarsal tunnel is, it's carpal tunnel, but in your foot.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've never heard of that before.
I was going to say, you probably don't even know what the hell that is. No one's ever heard of it. I had to ask questions. I was like, wait, what? Basically, it's to alleviate some kind of nerve pain and pressure and compression in your foot. I walk for a living, so it kind of was necessary.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm still bunged from the accident as well. Like my thumb is pretty much going to be sore for the rest of my life now. They said the bones healed fine, but I may have like cartilage damage or the fracture is brought on arthritis already. So
oh, no.
Yeah, and then the elbow where I had the fracture in the radial head and neck. It's by the end of the week, I'm sore. Like, yeah. So
to empathize with that, I've the corrective and removal. The removal was a couple of screws in my same foot that had the corrective surgery. I had surgery a few years ago on that foot, and the screws were backing themselves out. So
oh, no.
Not only was I dealing with pain from that, because they were sticking. And I could feel when it gets cold, because I live in Northern America, Massachusetts, almost near Canada, like just a few, maybe 8 hours away from Canada. It gets cold in the wintertime, and boy,
yes.
Oh boy, do those metal screws remind you that they're there when it's cold.
Oh, I can bet. Far out, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah, all but, right. You know, it works.
It is, yeah, well, that's good, as long as it works. So... before we get any further, what are you drinking, sir?
At night, I was, and we talked about this, I was going to bring a sweet wine. However, I was not able to acquire a bottle. So instead, I have a nice big bottle of Tito's handmade vodka. And I'm presenting this like Vanna White because I've never had it before tonight. And it is delicious.
Wow. I've heard of Tito's a lot, thanks to listening to anything by Bert Kreischer. And
yes.
And stuff. So, yeah. So, no Tito's, and I'm on the sweet wines, and I've got a $5 bottle of Gossip's Sweet Lips Pink Moscato.
Attaboy. Living vicariously through you, I am tonight.
And it's funny, like, was when I had the accident, I had a bottle of this in my bag when I had the accident.
Oh.
And it didn't break, but I did. So we've found out that I am more fragile than a bottle of pink Moscato.
Ah, so you are essentially the living embodiment of Samuel L. Jackson's character in Unbreakable Glass and Split.
Yes. Yeah, I'm Mr. Glass.
Yes.
So, so this has been forever to happen. So I'm really, really glad that we... I finally got to do it because we've been chatting for quite some time back and forward.
Yes, we have. I believe I was actually reaching out to you initially to come on my show, and we just haven't lined that up yet.
That was it. Yeah. And then the roles are reversed.
That's fine.
I'm trying to enter the guest era of the show. So like, and we had it kind of teed up before. So like for the last week I had the Dave from Three Little Pigs on, and had all the kerfuffle with Riverside and everything. And as soon as we got after that, I was like, well, I need to tee up the next week. And you were the first on my mind. So that's why I sent the message off, and here we are.
Yeah. And to that, I say cheers.
Cheers. So with guests that I have on that are other podcasters and stuff like that, I like to ask them to, you know, plug the absolute shit out of their show, or in your case, shows. And I'd like to know a bit about about the show and like your origin story. So what got you into podcasting, and like, what do you want out of it? You know, all that super interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, obviously, as you said, I've got two shows. I've been doing Mad Trivia since December 2022, maybe even November 2022. And that show was born out of my absolute love and adoration for Mad Libs and trivia. Yeah. Nice. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Basically, the show's concept initially, because it's evolved since then, was to have my guests provide me with a list of their five favorite films, which I would pick one. I would go do a bunch of research, find really solid questions that I knew would stump them, because I don't necessarily dig for obscure happenings in the movies so much as like, how much did the movie make worldwide? Or who was supposed to be the lead actor instead of Michael J. Fox as Marty McFly? Stuff like that. You know, I'm glad you know stuff like that. I didn't know. So it doubles down as research and learning for me, which I value a lot, because the useless plethora of knowledge in there needs to get filled by better useful stuff. So that was my goal initially, was to have fun and to learn, and also to teach my guests that they don't know as much as they think they do about their favorite movies. And I was right most of the time.
That's really cool. I like that, because I like the idea that it's not an easy thing. And the trap that you lay by them giving their favorite movies, thinking that they know like everything about it. And then, yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I always say this while I'm talking to my guests too. The trivia is, for me, is a good time, but the fun part is always and forever going to be the Mad Libs. It just usually turns the most simple things into the most wild and outlandish shit.
Yeah, right. Because I think when you first approached me to come onto Mad Trivia, I have never played Mad Libs before, so I have no idea about that game.
It's not even really a game per se. So the concept essentially in a Mad Lib is the words are pre-taken out, so you have to come up with an adjective, a verb, a noun, prepositions, any kind of word type. All I do is I give you that word type. You tell me whatever word you want to put in there, and it gets plugged in there, and then we talk it back and forth. I mean, if anyone is listening to this now and is just like really interested and curious to see what it could sound like, my most recent episode with the Joker of New Orleans was content. His content was fun, but we did the mob boss scene from a Dark Knight or from the Dark Knight, and fuck, it turns into the most ridiculous and funny story. Like the first time I did the movie The Dark Knight, the kid that was on Jacob, I love him to death. He's a hardcore religious person, doesn't swear, doesn't, you know, no innuendo, nothing like that. And he inadvertently made the scene say, when the pants are down, they'll do you. And it's just, when you inadvertently put someone in a position where they made something that they would never make, or something that could never be otherwise, and it ends up being as hilarious as almost every Mad Lib that I've ever put out is, it just makes the passion all the better for me. And I've loved doing that show ever since. I backed off this past December, good segue, for my new show with my co-host Dean, Console Combat. And this is part of a network where the Dynamike Podcast Network, all of the shows on the network are essentially a similar niche where we take two characters or more, depending on the circumstances, and we put them in the Monte Carlo simulator style battle. So we take stats, we put them, we come up with our stats based on research, and we plug them into the simulator. The simulator pops out 1,000 battles. Whoever wins more is the ultimate winner. Our niche is video games, and it is so much fun. So, so much fun.
That's awesome. Because your first episode, when you were putting up, when you first about starting it, like about like different video game characters, and I think your first episode was the suggestion that I had given, which was, I think, was it Nathan Drake and Lara Croft. Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool. It's such a cool concept and cool idea for a show. Like, especially when you're putting like two very disparate, very different characters together and seeing what happens. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, we've evolved since then too. Like, we started as the tournament, which it had mostly great fights. There was a couple of lopsided ones. I mean, seeing Ryu fight Tails was pretty upsetting. but you know, that's the nature of a tournament.
I can imagine.
But since then, we've put out, after the tournament, we've done a Halo Season 1 review for the show Halo, which I wasn't part of, but it's done very well. We did our episode, as of recording this week, was Joel from The Last of Us versus Deacon St. John from Days Gone, which, if you're a post-apocalyptic fan like myself, it was fucking wonderful. And then, of course, the other post tournament fight, which everyone seems to be enjoying, is Kratos versus Master Chief, Spartan versus Spartan.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we're really kind of like, we're riding off of the idea that sometimes fans will pick the fights in a way that makes sense. Like, we don't want to do too many lopsided fights because, you know, it's not as fun. But I will tease for the future this. I only just found out, I think yesterday or the day before, that Pepsi Man was a thing.
Okay.
That was a video game 25 years ago for PlayStation in Japan.
Oh, wow. I can't, and, never heard of it.
No, me neither. That was the thing. But there came to me immediately a thought. What other video game character would be perfect to pit against Pepsi Man? And I wonder if you know, based on the history of Pepsi and someone's personal experience, this person is dead now, but they have a video game or two, or they've been in video games, where it makes sense for me to put these two together. Do you remember an incident with a certain king of pop and Pepsi in their commercial?
Michael Jackson versus Pepsi Man.
Yes, and I'm promising the world right now that this is going to happen.
That is hilarious. As long as this, Michael Jackson just burns to death at the end.
And the problem I have is Pepsi Man was just a running game like Temple Run or some shit. So it's going to be hard to come up with good stats for him, whereas Michael Jackson's the fucking moonwalker. So he basically transforms into jets and shit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about Moonwalker.
So, you know, we'll have fun with it either way. I think Michael Jackson's going to have his revenge gladiator style post-mortem.
That is so cool. That's so cool. So with the podcasts, are you getting out of the shows what you wanted? What's your ultimate goal? Do you have an ultimate goal with the shows, like, and podcasting in general?
So with Mad Trivia, my goal, and you can see this based on the fact that in my entirety of posting for Mad Trivia, you don't see me. It was never about me, and I never wanted it to be about me. I treated Mad Trivia as a platform for my guests to show their skills and their talents and their knowledge, but also to show that movies have more prominence than they should, or not that they should, than they do. And the fact that so many different mediums, movies, television, suffer over the years of critics is a good example. Critics destroy films. But I'm a Marvel fan. Perfect example. Critics have been shitting on superhero movies the last 4 or so years, ever since Endgame It's been superhero fatigue, superhero fatigue, superhero fatigue. I'm here to show people that even if you don't like something, doesn't mean it's not special, not as important, that it's not someone's favorite thing. I know a person, and you're around my age, a little bit older. I know a person who one of their favorite movies is Howard the Duck. People hate that movie. It's a cult classic, but so many people hate that movie. But I want to be the person that says why. And when you put things like, when you put trivia for movies like that, where people have to say, well, wow, there was that involved. Like, it gives you the opportunity to say there's more to it than the presentation of the media on screen. And this is one of the reasons, and I'm sorry to go off on a small tangent here. When The Flash suffered so much hate and criticism, the movie The Flash recently, because of Ezra Miller and his, or sorry, their stupid decision-making, their poor choices, whatever you want to call it, everyone was like, oh, I'm not going to go see that movie. I said, why not? Michael Keaton, Sacha Kaye, I mean, even Ben Affleck and Jason Momoa are in that movie, but forget about the four main actors that are there besides Ezra. What about the hundreds of people who spent hours upon hours upon days upon months upon years sometimes creating that story? And I've always had a passion and love for things that other people don't understand. And I think it's because I don't see bad as much as I see good. And I try to have that view on life in general, because if you only sit there and want to see the bad things, that's all you're going to see. So I like to use the platform of trivia to expose the better parts of things that people might not necessarily like. Now, I don't always come across movies that people don't really love. And, you know, it's going to happen. But say you gave to me five movies that you would call your favorite, and one of them was obscure, and, you know, Block Blunders was a... I don't know if you know the Block Blunders podcast.
I think I do.
They're Aussies. They're from Australia. So it's...
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You're actually the second person from, or third person, second podcast from Australia that I've recorded with. And they had a Studio Ghibli movie on their list.
Oh, wow.
And it was not too many people know Studio Ghibli because it's animation, it's anime, it's something that's obscure. And I love that stuff. Truly, I love that stuff. The fact that I can expose people to their confidence of loving things, the fact that I can expose people to the fact that they think they know something that they don't know so much about. The platform from Ad Trivia was ultimately designed for fun, but also for learning and growth.
That's cool. So, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I've got this. I've also got Brainstorming, which I've got to get back into doing. Time is just time, and that little nagging voice at the back of my head that tells me, do you really want to do this? Does anybody really care? Like that bullshit. I've got we've got another one that my fiance and I are doing, the weeklies. We've got like a two episodes down, ready to go to upload, and it's a movie one. And we're doing kind of like the video store experience. It's that old school, like we're calling it the weeklies because it's like going to the video. What we're doing is each week we pick, either of us pick a movie, and then, and it's like just going to the video shop and going, okay, am I going to get the movie that I've seen a million times before? Am I going to get something that's just based on the cover? Like it's nostalgia. It's that type of, that type of vibe. Spoilers, the first two episodes, we've done The Lost Boys and Masters of the Universe.
Great. I love that.
And even more spoilers, the next two would be, is The Burbs, and then we're going to do, and then my choice is Roadhouse.
See, Roadhouse, you're going to catch a lot of people off guard with that because everyone's used to Roadhouse being said and performed by Peter Griffin now.
Roadhouse. and the other thing with this, with the weeklies, is it's my chance to get my fiance to see movies that she's never seen before. So I'm going to pull out some obscure canon films that she would have never watched, like, you know, pulling out American Ninja or this Charles Bronson serial killer movie called After Midnight from the 80s, and just sprinkling a little bit of horror in there because she's not a big horror fan. So it's that's my main motivation for the show, is basically to show her that stuff. So yeah, I'm a movie. That was my long way of saying I'm a movie guy too. I love like you were saying about the MCU and everyone bagging and shitting out on the MCU. I watched the Marvels a couple of weeks ago because it had come on to Disney Plus. I really enjoyed it.
I loved it too. I thought that the hate that anyone gave it was strictly because it was female leads and they can suck a dick.
100%. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was laughing. I had a great time. I'm a big fan of Iman Vellani and her performances as Miss Marvel.
I love that girl so much. She breathes such a life into that movie, into that show. I am just, if she doesn't make the face of the MCU by the end of the next 4 or so years, they're wrong.
Yeah, 100%. I like the fact like that she's doing the Nick Fury role for the Young Avengers and having her like prominent with that. Like it's great. And I don't get this. I actually do. I think we've talked about it on like my co-host and I a couple of times before, that all this hate at the moment is because it's the entitled fans not getting what they want.
1,000%.
They want Endgame every movie.
And I hate that so much. Not that I hate the idea that Endgame could be the precedent, because by all means, make it the precedent. But, and this is a big but, stop setting your expectations that high, because not everything should be the level of Endgame. And that's where the problem lies, is people have those high expectations.
Yeah, like Endgame is, it's in the title. It's the end game. Like,
yes,
it's that bombastic. It's that big. It's the final part of a massive crossover event, comic book like style thing. You've got to build towards that. And
absolutely.
And that's what this phase did. It stripped it back. And I you know, they did over kind of lean into the TV and a little bit and kind of saturating. And there was more quantity over quality. But it's, yeah, the fans need to just realize that they don't get a say in what comes out. It's
not even just, and I love that you say that, because that's the truth of it, but it's not even just that. It's, I think the expectation that they have to have this quality of content be what Endgame was, isn't just obscene. It's setting the bar too high for themselves and for the money, or I mean, for the studios, for the people who basically get paid for it. But at the same time, you're setting that bar so high for those people, you're going to make the product be bad.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's really, I hate that people do it, because, and this is one of the things that I like about what Bob Iger said about pulling back. Is it Bob Iger? I think it was Bob Iger that said pulling back on the content was their choice. And I think it's a good idea to some degree, but I also don't think it's the choice that everybody wants, which I know for a fact there's a couple of people who are like, no, don't pull back. We love all this stuff. But I can see the point behind it too, because if you stop spending all the money on 6 projects a year and pull it back to 2 or 3, A, you're going to double down on the money that you're spending on those projects will ultimately improve their performance and quality, but also give you the time to let new things brew.
Yes, 100%. And I'm completely, it's speculation. Speculation is fine. A new movie comes out, we see the trailer, and we can speculate and we can hypothesize what's going to be in this movie. But when these people get butthurt that they're not getting what they fucking wanted, it's that entitled. Like the biggest one that we're going to get is Deadpool 3. Deadpool 3, that movie is going to piss so many of these entitled fans off, because they're not going to get what they wanted. It's not going to be the movie that they had in their head.
I disagree to some degree. I say disagree to some degree because I think people are expecting one thing and they're going to get another. They're going to be mad for a second And they're going to realize we just watched one of the best fucking Deadpool movies we could have ever gotten because Hugh Jackman said yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when you put those two together off screen, they've been hilarious and fun and ridiculous. On screen, getting paid to do so, I truly believe Ryan Reynolds said the words properly in that trailer. I am Marvel Jesus, because he is going to single-handedly save not just the MCU. I'm saying it. If Deadpool 3 is capable of setting the precedence that Disney doesn't have to hold back, we will get more content like that. And that said, I am banking on Deadpool 3's performance as a rated R Disney film for Marvel playing out well enough to allow for the Midnight Suns to be the thing that comes soon.
Yeah.
I've seen stuff on that, and I hope that's the case, because the Midnight Suns, for those of you who don't know, are essentially the magic form of the Avengers, and it's Blade, it's Moon Knight, it's Doctor Strange, it's Elsa Bloodstone, it's Man-Thing, it's those cool creaturey style characters that have the hell, the magic, the stuff that we don't get yet.
Yeah.
The realm that we haven't really touched.
And they've set a good kind of, they've already set a good precedent for the Midnight Suns in Werewolf by Night. I think was amazing. It was pitch perfect. It was beautiful. I want more of Michael Giacchino directing things and doing stuff like that. I just hope I want the Blade movie to be successful. I want them to do Ghost Rider. Give us Johnny Blaze. Give us Ghost Rider. Do it properly. Give us more Moon Knight. I actually really enjoyed Moon Knight, and I would like to see more. And even if we don't get another series like that, and he just reappears in, but in saying that, I actually would like another series to pick up where the last season left off. But yeah, you're right. Deadpool, it's going to be. I think what I was mentioning is that little group that are going to go, oh, we didn't get Daniel Radcliffe appearing as a variant of Wolverine. The movie is shit.
I'm not convinced that's not happening. I'm sorry.
I'm now at a point where I will. I'm not going to speculate too much about this movie. My speculation is now going towards like Fantastic Four what they're going to do there. And with the stuff with Deadpool now, I'm at a point where it's going to be, I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm just waiting for the movie. I think my speculation cup runneth over, and focusing on the next big thing.
I mean, Me and my co-host on Console Combat, we have officially dubbed Pedro Pascal Papi Pedro, because listen, I'm a straight man, straight as a line. You mentioned this is something that we might discuss, so I'm just going to let you segue off of it. But I have no shame at all in complimenting a man when it's deserved.
Yes. And what you're referencing is, I was going to ask you, as I asked Dave from Three Little Pigs last week, because Matt and I have done Man Crush episodes multiple times. One of the last ones we did was the 80s, our Man Crushes from the 80s. And I'm going to do decades and like fictional characters and stuff like that. And I'm looking into merchandise for the shirt designs and for the show. And I've got a design mock-up for a Man Crush Club shirt. And so now I'm asking all my guests, are you part of the Man Crush Club?
Absolutely. No, come on. Yeah. Let you ask it twice. Come on. I have no problem admitting it. There are some beautiful men out there. There are some handsome women out there. And I'm ready to play this game.
My top three has actually... It's because it's a fluid and ever-changing list. It changed a couple of days ago, and my top three now is... number one spot is always this man. He's never been nudged from, and that's Mr. Jack Burton himself, Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell sits at the at the number one spot, he's not going to get knocked off. And it wasn't until a couple of days ago, my fiance reminded me that there was one guy that she was surprised wasn't in my man crush list. And it's Captain Mal Reynolds, Castle, Nathan Fillion. He's put himself in number two spot, and Daddy has come in number three. Pedro is now officially in the top three.
Hey Pedro, yes. How can you not look at that man and just be over the moon happy to see him?
Oh, like, yeah, 100, yeah. Everything. Like the last awards show where he looked fabulous. and his performances. Yes, now he's just a voice on The Mandalorian, but by God, does he give good voice?
He gets great voice. I take voice jobs from him all day.
Yeah. Joel, like his performance of Joel is next level.
Come on, man. Come on. Even Maxwell Lord in Wonder Woman 84, he was, despite his lack of facial hair, he somehow managed to make that role wonderful.
Yeah, he is probably my favorite part of that entire movie. The only thing I think I like about that movie is Daddy Pascal. So who is your top three in your main list?
Okay. So I get that this is going to be a lot of problems with this because of recent things. Well, not recent anymore per se, but someone that's in my top that's never been able to be bumped off is Johnny Depp. And
yep. Okay.
You know, fuck you, Amber Heard. you's a piece of shit, and I hope you hear this, because I, just a side note, I had a 4.2 million view video from one of her. I had to change my locks memes.
Oh yes,
100,000 likes and that motherfucker disappeared.
Oh
yeah,
fuck's sake.
Is that fucking bitch? She ruined it. So yes, of course, Johnny Depp is going to be, and I'm pretty sure he's always going to be my number one. That man could talk my pants off. no question about it. The dude is just, he's a talented guitarist. He's a talented singer. He's a talented actor. I mean, I think he's in his 60s and he still looks fantastic. And I, you know, I have no issues with him. I don't think that the shit with Amber Heard was valid. I think there was a lot of bullshit. And granted, he probably did some shit that wasn't right. I don't think he deserves the shit that he got.
Yes, they were both equally as wrong. Like, you know, there's two sides, there's two parties. Yeah. But that's a great choice. And in talking about people that had some issues and stuff like that with Dave from Three Little Pigs last week, in his top three was Charlie Sheen. And
yeah, fair. That's a problematic one.
And that's a guy that's had the ups and downs and Tiger Blood and all that. So I'm, yeah, Johnny Depp, great choice.
Winning here, winning there. <I'm> winning. So another one that, this isn't even a movie star. This is a little bit less obscure, but a lot of people still should know the name Corey Taylor. You're wearing an Iron Maiden shirt, which means you know the name Corey Taylor, because Corey, yes, Taylor is synonymous with metal. And that is Corey Taylor. If you don't know, you're stupid and wrong. I'm sorry. I don't mean that. But Slipknot's lead singer, Stone Sour's lead singer, and of course, just himself recently over the last few years, making a solo career out of it, making a rap, making hip hop, rock, metal. The man is wonderful to look at, but he's even like, just, you can't even put a number or a rating on the dude's talent.
Yes. And he's a massive nerd too. Like, he's a comic book nerd. He's a horror nerd. He's a wrestling nerd. Like, great, fabulous choice. Like, so I'm a metal, like old school metal dude, like have been like all my life. And, for a while there, Slipknot kind of, it wasn't my thing. And then it was the Grey album.
Oh, the Bulger passed away. Yeah,
that album. And, The Devil and I.
Yes.
And that, and I played that on loop for days, and it got me back. And then I remembered back in the day, I really enjoyed Spit It Out. And then I went back and my love of Slipknot has now taken full form. And my fiance loves Stone Sour. She is a massive Corey Taylor fan as well. So she will not be angry at your choice.
I would hope not. And I'm glad you mentioned that he's a nerd, because my third one right now is inspired by a recent fan art, and I think you'll appreciate this because my nerdom is, excuse me, overflowing. I saw a fan art of Henry Cavill cast as Cyclops, and if nothing else, Henry Cavill's commitment to nerddom is so fucking sexy. That dude loves the nerd culture. He's openly admitted on multiple interviews that nerding out is one of his favorite things to do. And it is just so wonderful to know that our Superman, because I love Brandon Routh, but Henry Cavill was fucking the man as Superman. Fuck you, Zack Snyder, Joss Whedon for ruining his upper lip. But thank you, Zack Snyder, for allowing it to be fixed, and Warner Brothers for that, because the Snyder Cut was a savior for superheroes in general. But before I lose myself in this tangent, I will say this. There is a runner-up / honorable mention / tie with Henry Cavill right now, and there's a reason for this. And I don't know if you've watched the recent SAG-AFTRA awards, but
no.
Nick Offerman spoke about his role on The Last of Us and how people who were complaining about the gay storyline were just fucking stupid, basically. I love that man for being outspoken with his platform, because you don't see it. You don't see women getting treated properly in the industry of movies and film and television. And you don't see, the handicap, the transgender community, the homosexual community, all those communities are misrepresented in film. And the fact that he was willing to stand up and say, look, it wasn't about the fact that we're gay. It's about the story that we told as gay men. And he's a straight man. So, you know, there's a little bit of but what he was willing to do for the role and the willingness that he stood behind the fact there was a gay character and he was not problematic with it. I love that for him. And I love that for the industry, because that means there is somebody with a platform willing to use it for good besides Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. I was a fan of Nick Offerman all the way back to Parks and Rec. Ron Swanson for life, baby. The changes that they made into that episode of Bill and that, it was like from the game, it's one of the most perfect pieces of television I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, you honestly believed that Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett, a fellow Australian, were truly in love. And it's another wonderful choice. And Henry Cavill,
wonderful people. Yes, sorry.
the Henry Cavill, I love him as Scott Summers. Yes, I would love him as Cyclops. Like, yes, please. It's a role that he could really kind of put his teeth into. It's multiple movies. It's completely different to Superman. And I think that would be great for him. His Superman, I like parts of him. I don't think we got a proper Henry Cavill Superman performance in that entire DC run. I think the closest you do is at the very end of like Justice League, where he's just too, like, I just don't like the, he's too dour through it all to me. Like, there's, I'm not the biggest, I love Henry Cavill. I'm not a fan of that. There's that little chunk.
Was it because he broke dude's neck?
I don't care. Like, that does not bother me whatsoever. Because it makes sense from a point of view of, like, I've done it once, I'm never going to do it again type thing. But it's just, he was never, like, I never got the hopeful, Superman.
American dream wasn't
that's
there.
What I want. That's what I like. I want the big, bombastic, colorful, hopeful Superman. And we never got it from him. There's glimmers, and I could see him getting there. We never got there. And that's the biggest disappointment for me from his tenure as Superman. And the other thing I don't like is there's no distinct difference between Superman and Clark Kent.
Isn't that the way it is, though? Like, I think that character has always been meant to be like, you're stupid. He's just wearing glasses. Like, oh, and the little twirl on the tip of his hair. That's just one of those things. Like, he never wore a mask. His glasses are like my glasses. Like, do you think I'm a different person?
Where'd
you go?
With this argument, there's one moment, and it's from Christopher Reeve as Superman, and it's very simple as a change in posture. You see him as Clark, and then when he's going to tell Lois in the house and he takes the glasses off and he stands up, there is a very distinct difference. Like the way that Frank quietly drew Clark and Superman in like All-Star Superman, where he's kind of hunched over in the suit, and it looks like he's kind of a little bit smaller. So when he stands up, that's for me the distinct difference between the two. And we never kind of like, there was no distinct line for me.
That you say it, I can't help but unsee or not unsee the fact that he really does always look like this jacked ass dude
all the time. Yeah. And the personalities are the same. Like, he doesn't give us a little bit of the bumbling. Like, I even think Tyler Hoechlin does a great job between his Clark and Superman in Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
Show. That's just my disappointments in the DCU, and I'm glad we're entering a new era for it to actually. I think we're going to get proper adaptions of these stories, and I think it's coming.
As long as they don't continue with the Batman under the pretense of 3 hours movie, 3 hour movies being the thing, because I'm outspoken. The Batman was too fucking long.
I love the Batman. Yeah, it is long. It could have shaved off about 30 minutes in that. I love that movie. I just want the DCU version of Batman to be a bit more comic booky. I want a bit of a, I want the larger than life villains. I want Robin and the Bat family. I'm kind of over a little bit of the real world Batman. Give me.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as I love the Batman, it's set within that same kind of real world constraints that the Dark Knight trilogy, the Dark Knight trilogy was a lot more kind of, there were crime films that had Batman in them. The Batman seemed a little bit more larger than life. I love its Gotham. It's probably my favorite Gotham in all the Batman movies.
It is a good Gotham, I'll give you that.
I just want a little bit more flavor. I want a bit more of that comic book splash into it.
That's fair. I mean, we can always hope for the Kevin Conroy animated Batman style in real life. I think that's kind of like all of our dreams.
Oh, is it ever?
Like, that would be the precedent. That really would.
Yes. Do you have a casting for who you would like as DCU's Batman?
See, I have my Elseworlds. The drinks have fogged the brain. what's the Flash storyline? Flashpoint. I am still clamoring for the Flashpoint that we didn't get, that we should have gotten, because yes. I am desperate for a Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a Batman.
Yes. Thomas Wayne, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's Thomas Wayne Batman would have been Yes.
Shit. Just absolutely. The Negan as Batman, and I'm not a Walking Dead fan, but knowing full well that they would have been the same fucking guy because of the bitterness of Negan being put into the character of Thomas Wayne, just, I can't go off on that tangent. Oh, God. See, I don't hate Pattinson as Batman, but I don't think he'd fit in the DCU that James Gunn's building. And knowing that, presuming that James Gunn's going to make a Batman where he's already got a Damian Wayne, he's already got a Dick Grayson, he's already got a Jason Todd, all those characters, because I've heard the story that it's going to be a more Bat family focused film. So that would mean that he would have to have years behind him. That would put him in his 40s or 50s even. So I don't really have a good call, because it is such a hard character to be. Like Ben Affleck, I loved him as Batman. I did. Because he wasn't afraid to not be what everyone expected him to be. And I think that's what made him different.
There's moments of moments in Batman v Superman, as opposed to Justice League Batman, because it kind of just like, you could see that it was a bodysuit. He didn't like where Batman v Superman, he was jacked. He was in it. And like that warehouse scene, even though he murders so many people, it was like watching a live action Arkham fight sequence, like from the games. I liked his Bruce Wayne was a little bit of a dick. I'm a fan of his Bruce. I'm disappointed we never got his his solo Batman movie.
Yeah, and with Deadshot as Joe Manganiello's Deadshot would have been mwah, 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 three times. Yes. Give me chef kiss. Oh, that. But if we got someone in the age range of Affleck, actually, I don't even hate the idea of thinking about Manganiello as Batman. Or what's his nuts there? Jensen Ackles as Batman. Yeah. Either of those two.
Jensen is my pick.
I don't hate the idea because he's done well. He's done very well for DC. He did very well for The Boys. And I mean, Manganiello's good. Like, he's a great actor and he's got the age for being dad and, you know, borderline a little bit too old to be dad, but you know, he doesn't look old. He doesn't look like he wouldn't be. I mean, he's great. Obviously he's in great fucking shape. But yeah, between those two, I think either of those would be a good pick for sure.
The other guy they're throwing around is like lately is Alan Ritchson. I just think he's too big, especially for the Reacher, like the Reacher thing. I love him. But then I would just constantly see Thad Castle as Batman and it would completely throw me out. Like I'd just see Blue Mountain State every time he would be on the screen. But Jensen's my pick because he's a little bit older. He's shown that he's not just Dean, like with Soldier Boy. There's moments in Soldier Boy where I was like, yeah, okay. But and then seeing some of the fan art with him and the cowl, yeah, like Jensen's would be my pick.
I don't hate the idea. And James Gunn, he wants to make people the same actor in all the things. Jensen's already there, man.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much a no-brainer at this point. Jensen would be great. I don't invest myself too much in DC because it's been such a flop fest for so many years. And it's just hard to. I love them both. I'm according to some podcast Discord servers, I am John the Fence because I'm always on the fence between Marvel and DC, and that's how I've identified myself because I love them both. But Marvel's always got my heart.
Yeah, well, save me. I love all the Marvel movies. Very very slim pickings for the DCU stuff. But I'm a Batman. I'm a Batman guy. I have Batman tattooed on my arm. It's shit. I've got to get it done over. It was the Batman animated series logo, but I got it in black and gray, so it kind of all washed out, and it just looks like a black smudge on my arm now. But but I'm a, yeah. But yeah, I'm a Batman guy, so I'm just hoping for that Batman movie, and I'd like to see it done well, because then we're getting, we're at the buffet, we're at the comic book movie buffet, and we can pick and we can choose and we can enjoy all the stuff together. And it being good means it's going to make Marvel Studios be good as well. So they're going to be competition, and they're going to feed off each other. And so, yeah, talking about all these movies and stuff like that, do you have a favorite movie? What's your favorite movie?
You know, that's such an impossible question for people to ask me. I love so many. Like, when I said earlier that I don't like to hate things, I love everything. I can tell you for a fact that everyone shits on Batman and Batman and Robin for days and days and days, and I will go back and watch that movie, and I can still quote it years later. I love everything. It's hard for me to dislike stuff.
Okay. Favorites. Okay, because the other way I was going to go was, do you have that movie that you would, that one that you watch, or like you could put it on and watch it over and over and over again?
I even have a couple of those. I can confidently say a couple of them for sure.
All right, give me a couple.
I'll give you three that I know I could watch endlessly, because they're all, two of them are similar. Actually, they all have a common thread, so I guess there is something to it. Avengers Endgame, of course, will always be cinematic history, and it is one of the most beautifully rendered, greatly written, fascinating stories that Marvel has ever put together in any of their media, and I will never be able to sit and say there's a thing bad about it for me at all. I love that movie. There's no argument. I can watch it anytime it's on TV, anytime it's put on. I'm going to sit and stare because it's just great. No questions asked.
Totally agree.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Great choice.
Edgar Wright is a masterpiece. I mean, the man himself is a masterpiece. For what he did here in this movie alone with the stellar, and I am talking fucking stellar cast of characters. This movie has everyone's favorite actor in every genre in it, period, end of story. If you name a genre, there's an actor from it besides horror, and it's just great. There's so many good actors, so many good actresses, and it's just a wonderful story. I can watch that no matter what. That's a great movie. And my third one, and this is where, again, because those two are both comic books, this one is also a comic, I believe, and that's The Crow. The Crow is cinematic history in a noir film made in the 90s by Brandon Lee being executed in real life by mistake from a prop gun. And whatever you think about that part of the movie, forget it. Because if you've never seen the movie, you're wrong. If you haven't heard of the movie, you are missing a piece of history. That movie is bar none impossible to do better than in that genre. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I don't know if you saw the Bill Skarsgård stills, but I am dreading this movie because.
So I'll loop back. So Endgame, I have vivid memories of seeing that at the cinema. I went and saw it by myself. I openly wept and cried through that movie, like to the point where the people that were sitting next to me, I had to kind of turn away from them because I was sobbing. My entire body was shaking. But it wasn't just in sad scenes. It was in scenes of pure, unadulterated joy. I'm seeing things that I never would have thought I would seen on the screen before. And I have the exact same feelings and experiences every time I still watch it. If I put Portals on my Spotify, I get
chills.
And I could get emotional listening to that song. So yes, 100% fantastic. Scott Pilgrim, it is left out of the conversation whenever we get best comic book adaptions, because it is probably the best comic book adaption that we've ever really gotten. But it's not the best video game adaption. Like,
can I tell you a fun fact about those two really quick? I just found this out like 3 days ago. The game and the movie came out 3 days apart from each other.
Oh, really?
3 days. I'm talking the exact same week they released. It was August 10th for the movie and August 13th for the game. Wow. Of 2010. Both of them flopped.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
It's like, if you take the game coming out 3 days later out of the equation, the movie is the best comic book and video game that isn't a video game, but that did come out 3 days later of all time. Like, and the casting is amazing. Everything about it, fantastic. The Crow, directed by an Australian, Alex Proyas. I love that movie. I'm very disappointed that a lot of the copies that I see they censor. There's a whole chunk, especially over in Australia here, the scene in the pawn shop where he's putting all the rings in the gun and the shotgun. It's censored over here. And on the copies I've seen, I remember seeing it before, and there's a very clear cut. There's a section removed. I can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but yeah, it was censored over here, which sucks because it's one of the best scenes of that movie. Yeah, it's a Bill Skarsgård stuff. I am not looking forward to this movie. From the simple fact is, there is no need to remake the Eric Draven story.
I do a
midweek episode where I like do like 20 minutes or whatever. And my first midi, I talked about The Crow. And what I basically said was, The Crow is, and I've said this to my missus, I've said this to friends that don't want to listen to me speak anymore. The Crow is a story that does not need, like, the Eric Draven story has been done. But that story is a type that you can, the Crow is, Eric Draven isn't the main character, it's the Crow. So you can do multiple versions. And that's what they did with the sequels. As bad as they got, I've got to go back and watch City of Angels because I remember kind of liking it originally. But you take the premise of the Crow and then you insert a different story. And I don't know why they aren't doing that. One of the best Crow stories I ever read was a book. It was a Crow novel that was set in Thailand. And it had like full Thai characters and was set in Bangkok. And it was a full Crow story of the revenge, the death and the revenge and everything like that. But just in a Thailand nightlife setting.
Mm.
That's what they should have done.
Yeah, I mean,
Draven's been done. We don't need to see it again.
I think there are some reasons why they're afraid to do it. And I wonder if it's because legacy characters don't do as well in a lot of media.
Yeah.
Because there is some truth to that. And it's not always the case. But, I mean, even in recent history, I can think a lot of people shat on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And Falcon's now officially he is the first legacy character of the MCU.
Yeah.
And a lot of people shit on that show. So, I mean, I think there's something to that, but I don't think this movie is going to perform well.
No, I don't
either. So
I don't think so either. It just sucks because the premise is there to tell new stories and the framework of The Crow and revenge and stuff. And if they were going to be doing, I just don't like the look of him either. I said in the little mini episode I did that he looks like an Australian bogan that would ask you if you have a spare cigarette or some money for the bus. He has got a quintessential Australian bogan haircut, especially with the face tattoos. I just don't want to see the Eric Draven story done again, but done with Pete Davidson, the Crow, because he just looks like Pete Davidson as the Crow.
Yeah. Yeah. I can, now that you say that, I hate you for saying it because now I see it. God. Because honestly, I didn't like the look anyways. So my thoughts on it was like a combination of Suicide Squad Joker and GTA 6 Florida.
Yes. Yeah. It's Leto, and yeah, 100% it is. It's sometimes I don't know what goes through the head. It's just disappointing. But at the end of the day, we have that original movie, and we can always go back and watch it. That's the good thing about the originals. We can always go back and watch when it was done the best.
And I will even give credit to Snyder, the version of the Joker at the end of the Snyder Cut. I loved it. The long-haired, post-apocalyptic end cut scene. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I haven't finished it.
Okay. It's a credit scene.
I think I remember seeing the images.
Yeah. There was definitely no problems with that leaking around. There was definitely all over the place. And it was much more Joker than the Leto Joker we got from Suicide Squad. And it was, you got Deathstroke by Manganiello, you got Batman by Affleck, you got evil Superman being controlled by Darkseid. Like that tease at the end of the Snyder Cut was the thing that everybody was hoping for, and it was perfect, and we all wanted it, and they squandered it because they suck. And, I'm bitter slightly, and I won't say that I'm not about that, but definitely he made up for Suicide Squad with that one little tidbit. And the quote is, "We are a society," and that is the line.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm not really looking forward to his Tron movie, Tron Ares.
Nah, I could care less. I never cared Tron. No, it was not my thing.
Did you see the Fallout trailer today?
I did, and I'm in fucking love.
Oh, it looks amazing.
It's perfect.
It looks like Fallout 5, basically.
It looks like what Fallout 76 should have been.
And Walton Goggins being heavily involved in that with his ghoul, which looks like former vault leader. Everything about it, seeing some of the creatures, the fact that Jonathan Nolan is behind it, everything about it looks great. The use of the song, I'm all in. We have been fooled before by awesome trailers, but I've got hopes for this.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely, me too. I mean, the CG didn't look like shit.
No,
the CG did not look like shit. And the trailer, of all things, the trailers always, 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 always look like shit for CG. These did not.
No, they didn't. And I love the fact that we got like a real kind of feel from the story, where you've got like the Vault Dweller, you've got a Brotherhood of the Steel, and them coming together. You got a ghoul. The costume design.
Yeah, guys. Oh my god, man. They reference. I saw the stim shots. I saw the Fallout bobbleheads. I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw a Pip-Boy pass by really quick. You got the Attitude of the Wasteland. Fuck, man. The show looked just so good.
Yeah, I'm all in. I can't wait. I watched it sitting at work today, and when I was on my break, and I was like, yes, please, 100%. We're coming up to I think about an hour. I will finish off with this last thing. This is the thing that I was just gonna I was throwing you a curveball. You're okay. A trivia man.
Yes.
So I've got some trivia for you. And it's legitimately, I'm throwing you under the bus. It's Australian slang trivia.
Oh.
So I'm gonna give you a an Australian slang term, and then I'll give you three options, and you can like give me what you think the term is. You okay. Down?
Yeah, I like this.
Okay, so what is the Australian slang term dobber mean? A tattletale or informer, a type of sandwich, or a skilled surfer? Dobber.
The first one comes to mind immediately.
Yeah. So it's a tattletale informer. You know, he just dobbed on you. Like he's a dobber.
That struck me right. That felt right away.
Yeah. Okay. If an Australian says they're going to the servo, where are they headed? service station or gas station, a seaside resort, or a shopping mall. Servo. Going to the servo.
I feel like a gas station is too on the nose. I'm going to say the mall.
You would have had it right if you had said service station.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That felt like it was just too right, you know?
So a lot of our stuff is we just like we just condense and drop an O on the end of it.
Oh, okay.
So, service station, it's a servo. We're just going to go down the servo, mate, you know? Going to go and pack the ciggies, go to the servo.
All right.
In Australian slang, what does it mean to nick off? To steal something, to leave or go away, to take a quick nap, to nick off.
I want to say that steal something because I feel like I've heard that before. But what was the second one?
To leave or go away.
I'm going to say leave or go away.
That's it. Yeah, it's to nick off. I'm just going to nick off real quick. But to nick something is to steal.
To steal it. Okay. Yes. I wasn't. All right. I knew you were throwing me. I knew you had me there. Ooh.
If someone says they're feeling crook, what does it mean? Tired, sick, excited, or confident?
Well, you gave me four, you bastard. Excited, sick, confident, or what else?
Tired, sick, excited, or confident.
It's
feeling crook.
I want to say sick.
It's sick. I'm feeling crook. Just feeling a little crook in the guts, mate.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That I get that one because the other one, I mean, you don't get that upbeat from crook.
No. What is the meaning of the word dag? A type of bird, a humorous or eccentric person, a popular dessert, an annoying person. Dag.
I am not going to get this one right, but I want to say it's a dessert.
It's a humorous or eccentric person. He's being a bit of a dag.
Okay. Yeah, that one didn't hit me at all.
Which is actually like, the term dag is actually a piece of shit hanging off a sheep's ass connected to the hair. That's a dag. That's the proper term for a dag.
All right.
This one should be easy. What is a snag? A mistake, a sausage cooked on the barbie, or a type of insect, or a small beach?
I feel like the snag is I can't remember the way you worded it, but the first one.
A mistake.
Yes.
It's a sausage cooked on the barbie.
Really? You said this was going to be easy. That is not something I would have ever guessed.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm just going to chop a couple of snags on the barbie.
No, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, right, okay. What does it mean when someone is doing a Harold Holt, taking a long nap, going for a swim, disappearing or vanishing suddenly, cooking a barbecue? This one's hard.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to know who Harold Holt is, and I have no idea who the fuck that is. You say taking a nap was in there.
Nap, swim, vanishing suddenly, or cooking a barbecue.
I feel like it's not cooking a barbecue. I'm going to say take a nap.
It's actually disappearing or vanishing suddenly. So Harold Holt was a prime minister of Australia that just suddenly disappeared while swimming. He went out swimming and he just disappeared, probably drowned. But because he just disappeared and nobody knows wherever he went, like where he went. I'm just going to go do a Harold Holt and you disappear.
Yeah, I was not going to get that one. I am not good with history in the slightest, much less not American history.
I've got three more. What does the term billy mean? A type of dance, a boiling pot used for making tea, a billiards game, or a local pub? A billy.
I'm going to say billy's game. That'd be the game of pool, right? Yeah, I would say a pool game.
It's a boiling pot used for making tea.
Really? So, you are getting me the further along.
So it's like in the song Waltzing Matilda, he does it in the thing. It's basically like just a little cast iron pot that you put over the fire and you cook your tea in it and pour the tea. It's a billy. This one I never heard before myself. So if an Aussie tells you to hit the frog and toad, where are they suggesting you go? To take a long nap, to go to a pond or a lake, to go to bed, or to leave and depart.
What was the term again?
Hit the Frog and Toad.
Repeat the options for me one more time. That's a tough one.
To take a long nap, to go to a pond or a lake, go to bed, leave or depart.
Leave or depart.
Yeah, because it's rhyming slang. So it's like British rhyming slang. I'm just going to go hit the frog and toad. So I'm going to go hit the road.
Ah, okay.
And the final one is, what does the term sticky beak refer to? A nosy person or someone if interferes, a type of sweet pastry, a sticky situation, a unique dance move. A sticky beak.
A nosy person too feels right for me.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the neighbor, she was being a bit of a sticky beak, you know, popping over the fence.
I want to use that so bad.
Go for it. Yeah, so that's some strange stuff. You did really well.
I mean, I'm surprised. I don't know why I did well.
Well, now you are you're an honorary Australian now.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm not going to pretend to do an accent because usually I do it wrong. So I'm just going to say thanks, mate, with as much of a white American ridiculous English northern accent that I can present.
I was going to ask, do you have enough time? Do you have a shunt?
Work as a whole has been a shunt this week for sure.
Yeah, really? Right. Okay. Mine involves work as well. Basically, mine is junkies and their feral kids and letting them run riot around a restaurant. Today, there was a face-tattooed, spaced. He had spaces in his ears with a little – we call them eshays. They're basically like little – how do I put it? Fuckwits. with him, and they had the little kid, and he was just running down the booth seats, just on the seats, just running back and forward. And all I wanted to do was just to scream. And the kid had a little mullet as well, and I just wanted to scream, "Put your mulleted kid on a fucking leash." So just annoying junky customers and bogan customers. That's my shunt of the week.
So similar. Yeah. I just work for the mail system in America, so it's not fun either.
I work in maintenance for McDonald's. Do maintenance of a local kind of store and stuff like that. So yeah, so I deal with a lot of annoying customers.
All right, I'll be the last annoying customer of your day before we sign off here. Why do the ice cream machines never fucking work?
I have no idea what it's their fiddly method. So they go into a thing called a heat treat. So, they have to be cleaned this big, deep clean, like every fortnight. And, if the shake or the sundae doesn't get put in at the, like, if it gets too low, the machine kind of kicks into this, like, setting, and it freezer locks and it locks them all out, and that's usually why it doesn't work. But also, they're finicky little machines with so many little working parts that it just takes one, which happens every week, to break, and that's why we don't have any shakes or sundaes.
All right, so, well, you heard it here, folks. You know,
a lot of the times, and I can say it may seem like it's a cop out at a certain time that they're just like, "Oh, we got no shakes or sundaes, the machine's broken." It is usually broken 95% of the time. 5%, they don't know what they're doing.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show with me today. I had an absolute blast. It was so much fun.
Likewise, man. Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Oh, and I'll have you on again for sure. Like,
and you need to come on my show soon too. So we need to make that happen.
Yes, let's get that on the books.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks, John, and cheers.
Cheers to you, sir. And I get rid of this guy right now.